Hey, good morning, everyone. Y'all pile on in here and we will get started with weekly Q&A. We are also going to be talking about leveling up habits. So I kind of alluded to that a little bit last week, but let me get Coach Lizzie up, get the chat rolling, and get the Q&A. So you can ask questions in the Q&A. And here's what I would love to answer questions on this week is any final questions that you have around leveling up. So if you've got questions like, does this count as a level up? Is it like, is this good enough? Like anything that's lingering around, your thoughts around 1% level ups, now is your time to ask because I want to answer them today. I don't want to hear no bullshit later on that I don't understand what a 1% level up is. We have spent an entire month on it. We have been preaching on it. We've been talking about it. Today, I'm giving you ample opportunity to ask more questions about it. And, leveling up happens in all kinds of places. So that's kind of what we want to focus on today is all of these places that level ups happen. Before I get into that, I do want to say this. Oh, thank God. Here's my question and I need your help. Okay, well, give it to me. You probably hit when you're typing in the Q&A. If you hit shift enter, then enter will send your question to me. Shift enter will allow you to break paragraphs. All right. A lot of people know that about 30 something days ago, I did one of these Q&As and I threw out down the gauntlet and I said, I challenge anyone to tell me to I challenge anyone to debunk this, that if you spent 30 straight days using the phrase, it's not going to be good enough, as a trigger to do it anyway, to prove that it's not good enough, before we just like blindly, like we're a fish, believe shit that our brain says, I want you to do every single thing you think it's not good enough, that's not going to work. I want you to do it instead of doubt it. I had people take me up on it. They even went so far as to go into the Facebook group. They typed in, they talked about what they were doing that wasn't good enough, whatever. People have lost 5 pounds, 8 pounds in 30 days. Doing the shit that they swore to God 30 days ago was never going to work. It's not going to amount to enough. It was not going to add up. It's like, not for me. Like it might work for others, but no, not me. So for all of you, whatever your flavor of doubting 1% level ups are, I am going to tell you a couple of secrets. Number one, your brain is probably wrong. Your brain is wrong about a lot of stuff. I want you to think about every time you have catastrophized things. Think about just in the last 6 months when bullshit happened in your life and you just knew it wasn't going to work out. You just knew this person was going to be mad, that y'all would never get along again. Like, whatever it is that y'all think, I'm going to get fired over this mistake. I probably won't get a raise this year. My kid's never going to, like, my kid won't be able to get out of the fourth grade, whatever it is. And I want you to start thinking about how often is my brain actually correct about its assumptions? Like, how often do you sit in traffic and you think, oh my God, I'm going to be so late and everyone's going to be mad? And then you get there and you're like 1 minute late. Sometimes you're not late at all. But the entire time you're just like, fret, fret, fret. This is the worst thing ever. I'll never get there. Like, your brain loves to throw out a lot of things like, I'll never get there. I'll be so late. Everyone will be upset, and y'all do the same shit when it comes to trying to lose weight. Nothing will ever work. I'll never get there. It's gonna take forever. Bitch, losing weight can never take forever. That is like something that we say, and we think we're entitled to it, and it just feels so gross. Losing weight might take time. And here's the truth, you don't know how fucking long it's gonna take you. I did not know. The day that I started, I didn't think anything that I was doing was good enough. But I also knew that I couldn't sit there every day waiting for, I guess, some magic version of Corinne that was going to swoop in and do all the things for the rest of her life perfectly. It made like no logical sense to me that that day was coming. I finally just made that small click and I was like, I don't give a damn, but I got to change some stuff. And I got to start with shit I can handle right now. And that's going to have to be good enough. And that was like a new thought. Rather than saying it's not good enough, it's like, no, bitch, this is going to have to be good enough for right now. Because as of right now, I can't do more than this. This is what I got. This is what my energy levels allow me. This is what my current belief system allows me. This is what won't freak me out. So we have to think about how often is our brain just wrong about things? And your brain is like everyone's. It's very wrong about a lot of stuff all the time. So you have to quit listening to it. And then the other thing that I want to tell all of you is a lot of you have a lot of issue with your brain. And I would show you old shitty, except my cats have used him. That poor thing. He travels the world now. Like, he is all over this house. He gets knocked around, batted around. Every night, I put him back where he belongs. The cats come in here. They take shit and throw it and, like, just run wild. So, poor old shitty. I don't know where he is today, but he cannot be here to be a demonstration tool. But let's just think about old shitty. Y'all take issue with him coming up. You're like, but my brain keeps thinking. Or you're just like, well, I would change, but it's so hard because I keep thinking. The process to rewire your brain requires old shitty to come up first. Like when we think about changing how we default think, the only way to do that, the only way is you have to decide, I want to think this new way. I want to feel this way. And I want to show up this way. So if I'm going to do that, then what I have to do is reprogram how I automatically show up. Because one day I want that to be the new automated behavior for me. So that means today, all of my pre-programmed automatic thinking, the stuff my brain's used to thinking, it has to come up. And if you don't want that step, you can't change. All you can do is use some willpower for a little bit, but then you get exhausted and tired. I'm so sick of this because you're always forcing yourself to work extra hard to do things rather than doing what I'm telling you, which is all you got to do is let the old thoughts come up. They're going to come up whether you want them to or not. So you might as well quit resisting them coming up. Because if they're coming, whether you want to or not, let's just say like, okay, then this is a part of my process. Old shitty's going to come up. It's going to tell me something. And then my job is to say, I always think that. I'm working on rewiring my brain. I'm going to do this anyway. That might not be true, even if it feels true. We just calmly just feel like, and I'm so glad I'm hearing this now. Because when I hear these old thoughts, when you do journaling, when you sit and you listen to these calls, it is your responsibility to not just listen, but to think about, okay, that sounds like me. I say those things. I think those things. So now here's what I'm going to think on purpose. And then this is what I'm going to do on purpose, no matter what my brain says. Because the only way for your brain to realize that it needs a new automatic line of thinking is it has to watch you in action enough, doing something different, and you consciously telling yourself, this is what I'm going to do anyway. Because what I really want is this. It might feel hard right now, but that's okay. One day I'll get used to this. One day this will be who I am. It's just not today. I can act like who I want to be. I don't have to be her though today. So when we have that going on, and we do that for literally, you're going to probably do that for, I don't know, a few months. The average, like line, like a habit doesn't take 21 days. A habit actually takes around 66 days to truly become more of an automatic thing. So it probably is going to take you about that long, 2 months of purposely thinking new things before your brain is like, okay, I can extinguish the old. I'll only pull out those old shitties in what I would call, you know, 5 alarm fires when something wild happens and I feel like I need it. Okay, so we have to do that. So we've got to be thinking about my old thinking's not my problem in level ups. Thinking it's not good enough is not my problem. Not taking action because I think it's not good enough. Now that's a problem. Not telling myself I'm going to do it anyway and prove myself wrong. Now that's the problem. Me not wanting to work the system the way it's designed, that's a problem. Me wanting it to be different than human biology is designed, that might be a problem. And I always use this example because I think it helps you kind of solidify what happens. I am right-handed. Like, I am so right-handed that I tell people all the time, I don't even know why the good Lord gave me a left hand. It is the most useless thing in the entire world. I can't pick my nose with it. So let's imagine Corinne breaks her hand, her right hand. I'm going to have to use my left. Do you know why the right hand is so good? Because I've been using it my entire life. It is just automatic. It's pre-wired. Now, if I broke my hand, when I first start having to use my left hand, I'm going to be frustrated. It's going to feel hard. It's going to be sloppy. It's going to be messy. Nothing's going to feel good enough. I'm going to wish that I could just use my right hand. I'm going to spend a lot of time BSing about it. And then I'm going to realize, look, motherfucker, we got to use our left hand. And the more you bitch, moan, and whine, either you're not going to be able to eat, you're not going to be able to function, and you're just going to feel bad. So you might as well start doing things, even if you keep wanting to reach for with your right hand. Even if your brain keeps telling you, but you're right-handed, it's so unfair, your left hand sucks, whatever that is. Using your left hand is not good enough. Our brains would say all of that. But guess what we would do? We would do it anyway. I know you bitches, you would find a way to eat with your left hand. How many of you are like, you know what? I couldn't eat no more. When I'm all emotional and I'm all freaking out, I guess I took my whoopee away. Y'all would get clever and sneaky and figure out, how do I go get my Cheeto bag open with my bum ass left hand? I gotta figure out a way to make sure a nacho gets to go down when I feel bad. All of a sudden, y'all be clever. Y'all be doing it anyway. You wouldn't care if the way you opened your Cheeto bag wasn't good enough. You'd be like, this is going to do. Mama needs a Cheeto. Now, look, y'all would do that over there. But then when it comes to like bettering your fucking self, leveling up your life, getting your damn dreams that you've been dreaming about since, you know, the first time you gained your weight, y'all like, I don't know about that not good enough stuff. Now, that feels bad. I better just sit here and wait for divine motivation. Listen, that day is not coming. You know when you're motivated and you feel good? When you show yourself you can do shit you don't want to do. And you prove yourself wrong. You're like, oh, wow, that wasn't as hard as I thought. Oh, wow, little things do add up. Oh, wow, I was so wrong about all of this. Thank God I stopped listening to my bullshit. And that's what 1%s are really all about. 1%s are really about You stop bullshitting yourself that you are so different than any other human out there that's walked the face of this fucking earth for millions of years, and that you're going to somehow evolve overnight when the rest of us have been doing it since BC. You are not that fucking special. Get off your pedestal. You're going to be like the rest of us. You're going to have to do small things, program your brain in small ways, and inch your way to success. That is how it happens. The only person who ever gets instant success is a lotto winner. And we know the chances of that is like 1 in 1 billion. Do not treat your weight loss like a lottery. Constantly buying a ticket every week, hoping this is the week you win, hoping this is the week it's all perfect, hoping this is the week that it all just kind of comes together and you don't have to do any work. Because the crazy thing is, it's like the hard part of weight loss has nothing to do with the food. It has everything to do with what goes on between the 6 inches of our ears. The hardest part of weight loss is sitting there and saying, like, I won't do this thing. It goes against everything I've learned in the past about weight loss that's never worked. My brain is just used to all these rules. I'm going to do it anyway and see what the fuck happens. I'm going to prove myself wrong. Or you can just keep doing like you're doing now. It's not good enough. I don't feel like it. Maybe I'll feel like it tomorrow. I'm not gonna go get that extra glass of water. I'm not gonna leave those 2 bites. I'm gonna let somebody else lose weight doing that, but not me. I'm gonna keep doing fits and starts. I'm gonna keep doing like I always do. Try to cheat the system. Do a little juice cleanse here and there. Few keto days. I'm going to keep doing all these things that in the past, like, this is what I don't understand. This is what I really don't understand. Y'all keep trying to go back to the well of your past diets that have failed you over and over and over again. And you tell me that that's what's good enough? Somehow that's the high standard? Starving yourself? Denying yourself pleasure? Never overcoming your overeating, cutting out your social life, taking on way too much shit to do just to lose weight that's harmful to your body. That's what's good enough. That's your standard. You need to question that shit. Don't tell me that figuring out how to go to bed at night feeling better about yourself, allowing yourself true rest, figuring out how to ask for help. Like, all these things that are causing us to eat, our fear of what other people think, reprogramming how we think about ourselves so that we treat ourselves like a queen instead of a fucking ding dong all day long. That's what's not good enough. That's the stuff that's not going to work for you. That's not what's going to change your life. Keto and fasting is it. Noom. I think Noom has some great, like, of all the diets out there, I will say this. Noom is trying at least to introduce the conversation about our mental health. I was just commenting with one of my coaches the other day. In fact, it's Coach Lizzie. And I said, the problem is they're just deep as a puddle. They don't have highly trained experts. Like, I'm like, right now, my coaches are all getting ready to go through another 12-week training series with a high-level coach to make sure we can bust through y'all's doo-doo like nobody else. I invest in their education. I want nothing but the best for all of you. I do not want you having automated bots or people that have lost a few pounds and now just want to help you, which I think that that's great. I think when people have lost weight and they want to help other people, that's great. But what I want for you is not a team of 300 of those people I want a team of people who know what the fuck they're doing. They know how to coach you. They know how to talk to you. They know how to help you. And they've walked a mile in your shoes. So for all of you, when you're thinking about what's not good enough, when it comes to leveling up, you need to make a list of what do you right now currently consider good enough. And you need to question it. It would be a great journaling prompt for a lot of you. Have I even examined what I keep saying would actually be, if I was doing it right, this is what I would be doing. And is that even for real? Now, sometimes y'all will tell me if I'm doing it right, I am, you know, doing my four basics. I think that's great. But to get to there where the four basics are automatic, habitual, the way you just live, to like get to where I have arrived, like they're just a part of how I operate. It's how I think about food now. It's how I think about, like, the way I think about sleep is such a priority. It used to not be. Sleep was like, I would give up my sleep to make sure that I was meeting other people's needs. Not fair to Corinne. You know, and I will tell all of you, I had a high needs baby. Boom was high fucking needs. I've spent a lot of time not getting enough sleep. But what I realized is there were times I was going to have to ask for help. I was going to have to ask my mama to please come over and watch him so I could get some extra sleep and not feel like a bad mother. I was going to have to sometimes ask my husband, who was working a full-time, high-stress job, I can't do it. I got to have a night where I'm not waking up with him four or five times a night. And I'm talking at 18 months old. And when Logan was five, I was sleeping in the floor next to him in his room just to get sleep because he couldn't go to sleep by himself yet. Logan had a really hard time with sleep until he was about 8 years old. When he finally got to where he could walk down the stairs by himself, was when I finally started getting a full night's sleep. We set him up an airbed in our bedroom and told him, start in your room. If you can't go to sleep, you can always come down here. He just needed to be around us. So I do get that, but I also realized I can't function without it. And now I prioritize it. You will not catch me late outside of a every now and then, like when my UT balls are playing, I might stay up late to watch them, but you will see me like, just like last night. It's such a good example. Chris wanted to have date night so bad. He was licking the chops at 8 a.m. and wanted to go to the restaurant, and we can't go later this week. And I just told him, I said, I'm too tired. I have been writing content for days. And I want to get my workouts in and stuff. So let's stay in. We still have the boom boom. Whatever you need, I'll do. But I want to be in bed by like 8 o'clock asleep because I need my sleep. And that's tough. Like, I want to please my husband. I want to please people just like y'all. But sometimes, like, when it becomes a part of like your human nature, you have to learn, like, this is how the four basics become like this thing where it's like, this is important. I'm willing to have a harder conversation. I'm willing to tell someone no. I'm willing to negotiate, compromise, meet in the middle to be able to get this. So, for all of you, when it comes to the 1%, if you want to one day be somebody who is doing the four basics and you want it to be like who you are and stuff, you today have to start making those 1% level ups in the four basics. It's not going to look like what it is at the end, but it can't look like sitting around saying these things aren't going to be good enough. Okay, let me go over a couple of little things when it comes to leveling up your habits. One of the things I encourage all of you to do now that we have finished this month is the best place to start figuring out where to level up your next stuff is always with your habit tracker. So we include a habit tracker inside of your planner. And the way that I do it is I look at my habits and I look at them overall. Like, you know, what's my habit percentage around stopping at enough, waiting for hunger, water, anything that you want to track? Because you can always create your own and track other things too. But the best place to figure out where your next level up is going to be hidden right there. And it's going to hide in plain sight. So I like to look at, like, when a lot of times y'all say, like, my weight is stalled, I always ask a simple question. First, are there any emotional eats going on right now? Whether it is I'm not waiting for hunger or I'm overeating. Because we're not on a stall or a plateau if we're having overeats. If we're having overeats and our weight's not moving, we are now not on a stall or plateau. We are on the next step to figuring out what we need to do to continue losing weight. We are at a level up point. We are not on a stall or plateau. If the scale stops moving, it's always an indicator of one of two things. You are biologically not losing weight because your body is getting used to your new size. It's going to take, like, it can be anywhere from like 2 to 5 weeks. The longest stall I ever had was at the 6 week mark. One time I did stall out for 6 complete weeks. The dam broke at 7 because I just kept sticking with it. I didn't let up the gas. I did look for little places that I could level up, but I really didn't have emotional eats going on. It was just, I was like living like a new person. At that point, I was trying to get under 200. I had started training for a triathlon. I'd never rode a bike. I went to the Y with a fucking book on how to swim, and I put it in a Ziploc bag so I could figure out how to fucking swim laps. Like I was training from the ground up. I'm going to tell you, you want to talk about getting over your shame bucket. Walking into the Y, when people are swimming, like they've been swimming all their life and they've got gear and all this other junk, and you got a book you're laying out and you're like reading it to try to figure out how to go down and back without dying. I'm going to tell you that Corinne deserves a lot of respect because she had balls for days. But because I was training in so many new ways and doing so many new things, my body was like, whoa, like, holy fuck. Like, I'm not going to lose any weight right now. You have upped your workouts. You're like doing all this new stuff. You're going through, like, I was stressed out all the time because I was always worried about what people were thinking of me. I was showing up to group bike rides, trying to figure out, like, asking them, like, now, how do you brake? How do you unclip without falling down? Like, I did not know shit. I remember going out on long bike rides and one time almost passing out and somebody said, well, did you bring any fuel? And I'm like, what do you mean? They're like, I don't know, Gatorade, a goo or something. I didn't know any of that. I've been bringing sugar-free muffins. The opposite of what you need. You needed a sugar muffin. So when you are on a stall or plateau and it's biological, it's probably because your body's under a lot of stress. And that can come from mental, emotional. It can also just be physical stress of working out in new ways and that kind of stuff. Now, the other side is a lot of times our weight will stall and it's a trigger to look at those habit trackers. Am I overeating? And if so, I need to dial that thing in. So I need to figure out, like, why am I eating at night? Why am I overeating at dinner? Why am I blowing it on the weekends? Like, if my habit tracker says I stop it enough 80% of the time, that's the first place to look. It's like, okay, now what I want to do is I want to go back and I want to look at those daily plans for the 20% where I didn't stop it enough. And I want to look at them. And of those, is there a distinct pattern? Do they happen at a certain time of day? Do they only happen around certain foods? Do they happen when certain emotions are happening? Is it a certain time of month? Is it certain people? Is it certain days? There can be lots of, like, things to look for. From that, all you have to do is find one of the big patterns And then this month, you figure out how can I level up that? And you look for your 1% changes there. And you make those for like a week or two. So like Debbie says, yes, why am I eating at night? It's a good question. Here's an easy way to figure it out. Don't eat tonight and see what your brain says. It's going to freak out. Be like, oh my God, we're so hungry. This isn't fair. And be like, okay, I understand. It doesn't feel fair, but it is. I understand you're afraid you're going to get hungry. We're actually not hungry right now. But why do you want to eat so bad? If you keep sitting with it and you keep asking, you will figure it out. But here's how it's hard to figure out. If you keep eating every night, your brain never really clearly says to you, hey, Debbie, this is why the fuck we need to eat. You're actually scared of this. You're worried about this. You don't like this. You think sitting here is miserable. Is it actually miserable? Or is it just, I keep thinking, and my heart's racing? Do I just get tired of my thinking and give up on trying to tell myself, we don't need anything right now. We'll be fine. So that is one of the things we want to do. Someone said the same thing about the weekends. I don't know why the weekends are so hard. Here's an easy way to do it. Make a plan for the weekend and then ask yourself on a scale of 1 to 10, or a scale of 1 to 4, how confident am I that this is doable? Sometimes y'all are making weekend plans that have no joy, no comfort food, no nothing in them. And then you get to the weekend and the one thing you want from after working all week and it's been real hard is you want to relax. And if you don't plan relaxation time in, then your brain relaxes when you go out to eat. It's like, oh, well, we're out to eat. This is where we're going to relax. And we're going to relax with food. So you just start asking yourself questions. And you take wild stabs. And if you don't know, go to ask coaches and tell them, I don't know why I am eating on the weekends. I don't know why I'm snacking at night. I don't know why I'm doing this. Here's my best guesses. It could be this. It could be that. Let us help you work through them. And then that is like the big way to level up some habits, is to just be looking at your habit tracker and then find 1% level ups. And then a lot of times y'all ask me, like, how many level ups are too much? There is no answer to this. Every person's nervous system is different. So in the beginning, I could only level up a little bit at a time. And then as I got rolling in my weight loss, and I started thinking like, man, I'm getting good at this. Man, things aren't as hard as I thought they were. The moment I started thinking like making changes is a little exciting, isn't as hard as I thought, I could stack level ups. Like right now, if I want to, like I have just done this process so many times. Like when I first started, y'all be shocked. I was not a go-getter. It was not like I am today. I was not an A-type. I was a survivalist. Any success I had in my early days, like when I was working at a corporate office, was all fear-based. It had nothing to do with Corinne and her, you know, capacity to take on challenges and jump like that. It was literally, I was scared to death that if I lost my job, that I'd have to wait tables the rest of my life. And I felt like I had dumb-lucked my way in to a nice corporate job, and I was scared to death of losing it. And so I worked that way all day and ate all night. That was how I lived forever. Now, that version of Corinne, she needed 1% level ups in her life, and that was about all she could handle, and they had to be like little and not every day. And I will just tell you, I am so proud of her. She sat on the sidelines of life for so long. She didn't apply herself. She was worried about making changes. Like I did all that stuff too. And the most courageous version of me that's ever lived is not the one you see today. I don't have to use courage a lot anymore. I have trained myself to be able to, if I want to change my habits, I've done it so many times. I know we just need to make a plan. It's going to suck for a little bit, but every day we're going to do it in a different way. And pretty soon, that'll just be the way we do it. And I just go. Only because I've done it so many times, I don't have drama around it anymore. And when my brain wants to do the old thing, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's so normal. My brain is going to want to do it the old way. Like right now, I'm writing a course for my business membership. And I'm redoing the entire way that I write courses, a whole new structure. I've been writing courses the same way forever, and I'm redoing it so I can teach other people because I really realized how inefficient some of my process was. And so for the last 3 days, I have been doing the process completely different. And every time my brain's like, oh my God, it would be so much faster if we just do it the other way. We'll get through this so much faster. This sucks. I don't think this is going to work. This might even be slower. Like my brain is just like, wow, it's just bitching to get to the other thing. So instead of being like, oh my God, you're right. I think this is slower. This probably never will work. I should just go back to the old thing. I'm just like, I knew it was going to be like this in the beginning. We're not used to it yet. We got to get used to it. And when I get used to it and I'm using it, if then it's not as fast, I can go back to the old way. But if I do it, and I get good at it, then I have a much better perspective to judge it. Let's not judge it before we do it. So, same with y'all. We have to be sitting around watching out for those moments. And so when you're first starting and you're trying to figure out like how many level ups can I do? In the beginning, if you're going to need to use courage, because you're doubting so much and you're in so much disbelief that this is going to work and you can lose weight and stuff, you need less 1% level ups. We want to do a few like Corinne did in the beginning. I needed to use courage, and getting courage is a big energy expenditure. You're already leveling up because you're going to use courage instead of excuses. So you don't need to shame yourself for that. You're just in the stage where it's emotionally a little bit harder to do these things. So we don't want to do a lot of them. Then after a while, and you start seeing yourself that things are okay, it feels safe to make changes. It's easier for you to reason that it might not be as bad. Then you can start stacking and you can do more. You don't have to worry about blowing out your nervous system because you're not having to use courage anymore. Now you have a whole new feeling. Willingness. You're willing to try. You're curious now. Willingness and curiousness don't take as much emotional energy, so you can make more changes. So you're not frying yourself out. So you don't have to worry about that part anymore. And then when you get to where you're like me, you actually, in some areas of life, like for me, I've got some areas of life, I can do a 180 change if I want to. Just be like, you know what? I've just decided I want to do this. I don't want to do this anymore. And I'm just going to, like, this is what we're going to do, no matter how tough or gross it feels. And I'm going to try it. I'll know soon enough if I like it or not, but I'm going in because now I don't need courage. I don't really even need willingness. I don't even need curiousness because now I just have dogged determination to try things. Now just I'm just determination just bubbles up. It's like, we should do that. This makes sense. Let's just try it. So you'll go through your phases, but I just want all of you to know you have to go through them. And there's no shame in going through them. We all go through them. I just want you to decide who you do you ultimately want to be. Because if each and every day you talk yourself out of this shit, you're just going to stay exactly where you are. And I think some of you don't like exactly where you are. It doesn't mean, like for some of you, you like a lot of parts of your life, but you got areas of your life you don't like, or that you just want them to be better. You're only going to get there if you're willing to do small changes. All right. Let's do some questions. I'm having trouble with the concept of the 1% and fighting the urge to fix all the things at once. I just covered all of that. So I think I actually did, Anonymous. You let me know, but I think I broke that down for you. I have leveled up on the following. On weekends, I used to eat a bowl of chips Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I leveled up and only eat a bowl on Saturday. Okay. I leveled up and only eat one dessert instead of two Saturday and Sunday. I have not lost anything. Why? It was so big. Where's my questions going? I eat so healthy the rest of the week. Probably because, Natalie, there's a difference between, so one of the things that we do when we level up is, like, if you were gaining and that was your habits and you ate healthy during the week and now you're maintaining and not losing, that means we've gone from like gaining 0.2 pounds a week, maybe 0.2 every 2 weeks, where, like, you know, I've noticed over the last 6 months, I've gained 5 or 6 pounds. I don't know where that happened. It was probably doing that. Now, if you're not losing at all, you've probably gotten to where it's like, okay, eating healthy during the week and having this on the weekends, this now is maintenance. So what you might want to do, Natalie, is you want to look at, is there anything else you can level up? The other thing I would tell you, Natalie, is before you make any more changes, even if you're eating healthy all week long, really make sure you're not overeating. Like, make sure that you truly are having some slight hunger before each meal and make sure that you are truly stopping at enough. And then even when you plan, I had to take my glasses off. My glasses are so fucking dirty, y'all. I can't hardly see through them. I've been meaning to clean them for 2 days. And you know me, I wear a lot of makeup, so they get very dirty. I'm eating a bowl of chips on Saturday. So make sure that when you're having your chips, that they're not extra. If you're going to have a bowl, like, this is like the other day. I don't remember what day it was. It's not too long ago. I've been craving a Sonic Blast for like days. Like every day I was like, oh my God, let's just go get one tonight. But I hadn't planned one. And so I finally told Chris, I was like, I want to have a Sonic Blast. Well, a lot of you, what you'll do is like, I'm going to plan a Sonic Blast. And so you plan dinner and then you plan a Sonic Blast and you're actually eating when you're not hungry. Here's how we work in treats. If I want a Sonic Blast, that's pretty much my dinner. That is what I had for dinner. I went and got a mini. I was like, the Turtle Mini Sonic Blast was dinner that night. That's all I was going to need. That was going to be plenty. Because I'm going to promise all of you, ain't none of y'all going to have medical condition problems because every now and then you eat a Sonic Blast or a piece of cake or whatever it is, French fries for dinner, some chips for dinner, whatever it is. No one's going to have health problems because every now and then you choose to eat those things. If you're eating them all the time, not giving a shit, talking yourself into it, overeating, being emotional, yeah, that's going to be tough. So if you're doing your chips on the weekends, Natalie, make sure you're hungry for them. We're not going to have a bowl to just eat during a movie and not be hungry. So you're going to want to time it to where you make sure, like, I'm hungry and I stop it enough. And that will be the next evolution is, you know, when it comes to desserts and chips, you'll just need to pay attention. Like, when is enough? And when I'm eating chips, I'm going to tell you, for me, there is a difference between physically enough chips and mouth hunger enough chips. Chips is one of those things where I could eat 2 or 3 bags, not the big ones, the like regular size ones. But to me, that feels like a serving. So I have to be really mindful. So like, you can have chips whenever you want, but you're really going to be eating a serving. So we want to really enjoy them. So I put them at the front of the meal. Like, I will take a bite of my sandwich and have a chip or two. And I usually run out of chips before I run out of sandwich. Because if I have enough, I would rather leave behind sandwich than leave behind chips. Sometimes I don't run out of enough. But y'all, I just prioritize whatever's on my plate. Somebody asked this in the Facebook group yesterday. If you had steak and green beans for dinner, for instance, and you were going to, I don't know, leave bites behind, I think is what we were talking about. What would you leave? And I was like, green beans every day, twice on Sunday. I love meat. Like I could eat meat all the time. Sometimes I just crave meat. So my steak would go down. There's nothing wrong with prioritizing the things that you love. We just want to make sure, like at the end of the day, we're being very intentional. The same thing's going to happen. I leveled up and only eat one dessert instead of two Saturday and Sunday. You're eating the dessert. You may just want to plan like on the weekends when I have chips, I'm having a serving. This is when I have my chips. I make sure that it fits in with Hungry Enough. When I have my dessert on the weekend, that might be my main meal. Very often, if I go out to eat, when we go out to eat, especially new restaurants, the first thing I say is, can I see the dessert menu? This happened while we were in Florida recently. Asked for the dessert menu, and I shit you not, there was a blondie on there. I about passed out on the floor. It is so hard to find a blondie, and that is my favorite dessert of all time. And I always say, if there's a blondie, I'm having it. Guess what? Order the blondie for dinner. Eat that first. If you want anything else, you can always order later. Here's what I know about restaurants. They like to make money, and they will let you order out of order if you want to. If you want to order dessert first and then place your entree order, they are very happy to comply. They do not have rules around when you eat. And if anybody that you're with is like, oh my God, you're going to order dessert first, be like, hell yeah, I am. Better watch it. It's fixing to go down. You have to decide what you want to do. I drink all my water. I sleep over 7 hours. I eat only when I'm hungry. I stop when it's enough. I used to eat a junk food meal on Fridays, another level up. I love you to death, but fuck me. I've been trying so hard. So this is the same. This is like Natalie. She's just telling me all the things. And I promise I'm not whining. I'm a fucking nun trying to do it all. I hope you're not really a nun. Well, maybe you are. That'd be amazing. Especially if you were a fucking cussing nun. I need a lobotomy as I'm thinking the thing you hate most. I must be broken from all the past diets with you since April. I don't think, like, all right, first of all, I don't think you're whining that much. I think what you're doing is you're highlighting, here's what I'm doing and here's what's not working. So you are getting your water, eating, you're doing the things. Like I used to eat junk meal on, like, first of all, I just want you to see where you're making so many changes. Natalie, can you tell me, I've got time. Can you tell me in, hell no, not a nun. Okay. Tell me in the Q&A, how much weight you have to lose. And when you say I eat healthy, what does that even mean to you? All right, Lisa says, I'm the type of person who doesn't know how to do a 1% level up. I think if I add something in, it has to happen every day or every meal. It's all or nothing. For instance, adding in a workout should happen every day or adding it. So this is where you have to just like notice that that's your thing. Like, this is what I just think. It's like, okay, Lisa, and you also recognize this is a problem. So your 1% level up is going to actually do common sense level ups, knowing that your brain's going to be like, well, if you add a workout in, that has to be every day. And it's like, oh, wait, my 1% level up is going to actually be leveling up my thinking around this. I have to tell myself that's not a 1% level up. That's a command. A 1% level up would be if I think I want to add in workouts, okay, how many workouts would represent a 1% level up for me? If I'm not working out at all, going to daily is not a 1% level up. If you're not working out at all, there are so many ways to make a 1% level up. A 1% level up could just simply be, every time I did this a lot in the very beginning. Every time I'd go to the bathroom, I did 10 squats to the potty. Was how I got incidental movement in. It was like one of the first ways I started like doing any kind of like introduction to lifting weights. I just lifted my ass. I remember sometimes when I used to travel, this was way back in the day. If I went to the bathroom, I did my 10 squats and I did 10 wall push-ups in the potty. By the end of the day, if you go to the bathroom like 7 or 8 times, that's 70 or 80 squats and 70 or 80 wall push-ups. It's a lot. So what you have to do is you have to be thinking about, like if you're like, let's say with a workout, let's say for all of you, because I've been thinking about Shailene Johnson just recently did this big walking challenge. My mentor's thinking about doing one. And when I watched Shailene do hers, I was thinking about us doing one, especially in July, because it's my birthday month. And I just think walking is the absolute best thing any of us can do for ourselves. It's how I started losing weight. I took a walk this morning. It was the only thing I did this morning was like, I got up, I did some work, and I was like, ooh, I have 37 minutes. And I went outside and walked in the sunshine. I just think, and I'm going to tell y'all, I walk about 2.7 miles per hour. It's not like Corinne's doing any kind. I'm not out there, you know, fitness walking or prancing. I am just out there strolling around, checking my phone, listening to shit, and talking to Jane. That's all I do. So if you were going to start working out, it might be like, let's say you have to do it in the mornings. So before we even get to the workout phase, your level up might be, okay, I need to prepare my body to roll its sorry ass out of bed. So for the next week, I'm going to set my alarm for 5 minutes earlier than I normally do. And then for a few weeks, I'm going to get it to where I am up and you don't even have to exercise. I'm going to wait until I get it to 30 minutes. So 6 weeks, what I'm going to practice is getting up a little bit earlier each day, actually getting out of bed. Maybe you even like you can decide you want to dress for your workout or not. You don't have to do one, but you get your body used to waking up when you are going to work out. Then you do the next 1% level up. Now that I'm fucking out of bed after 6 weeks and I have a whole 30 minutes to do my workout, maybe I start with walking. And it doesn't even have to be every day. Maybe I get up every day 30 minutes earlier and some days I'm journaling and that's going to be my mental workout. But some days I'm going to walk. Maybe I'm going to look for a YouTube video. Like for me, I have one day where I just stretch. I just roll around on the floor like a fucking beached whale and I stretch. That's what I like to do. And I call it my workout. So you just, for like 1%, like the biggest problem I think you're having, Lisa, isn't that you don't know how to do a 1% level up. Is that you judge what it should be and you're not leveling up from there. It's like, oh, my first level up is to call bullshit on myself. I'm going to have to do things that don't feel good enough. So Lisa, just use my good enough challenge. What do you think right now? Like when it comes, if I want to work out or if I want to do this or whatever it is, what is it in my brain would trigger me to think that's not good enough? Now that's a level up. And you just tell yourself, that's what we're going to do. We're going to prove ourselves wrong. We're going to rewire this part of our brain over time that thinks doing these things is not good enough. I've got to prove to my brain that it thinks about these things incorrectly. I'm going away in 3 weeks and dislike the way I look, what I weigh. I feel stuck. How can I take care of myself while not looking liking how I look? So this is really simple. You don't have to like how you look in order to take care of yourself. This is going to be a big part of Body Image Camp. So for all of you who have not signed up yet for the Body Image Camp, the virtual, you need to go ahead and get signed up right now. Because I think a lot of you think you have to actually like how you look, be in love with your body, not have shady thoughts, all that kind of stuff before you can take care of it. We have to separate out our self-esteem from our body esteem. You can not like your physical appearance right now and draw a line in the sand that says, it's okay if I don't like myself. That's very normal. I'm going to work on that. But that's no excuse to not take care of myself. And this is what taking care of myself looks like. So from now on, we're going to do these things regardless of what we weigh, regardless of what we look like. Because I think a lot of you have to separate out taking care of yourself from your thoughts about your body. You do not, I had zero positive thoughts about my body and somehow lost 100 pounds. I did not wait. What I did was I found areas of me that were worth the fight. I decided my life was worth changing. That was very different. I would, like, day after day, I did not like how I looked. I wish I wasn't so overweight, all those things, worried about what other people thought, but that was not an excuse to not take care of myself. And I had to make that as a conscious decision. So you can go away in 3 weeks and tell yourself, I may or may not improve the relationship I have with my body in terms of how I talk about it. Between now and then, I can just tell myself, this might not change a lot, but I don't have to not take my care of myself over it. That's a separate issue. I get to take care of myself, even if there are parts of me I dislike. So Natalie needs to lose 50 or 75. She's lost 17. Natalie, she says she eats Greek yogurt in the morning, spinach and egg and some cheese. Other mornings, some fruit, only if I need a snack and hungry. Soup, supper, half a plate is vegetables, chicken breast or pork, beef every other day on the air fryer, nothing fried. Go out to restaurants only one time per month, lunch similar to lunch. Natalie, what I would, I'm really hungry before supper, carrots or walnuts. So one of the things that I would do, Natalie, is I would just really double check to make sure you're not still overeating, just because we, like, sometimes when we're eating healthy, there's a phenomenon that happens where it's like, oh, it's healthy food, so I get to eat more of it. I can have bigger volume and stuff. Check that. One thing that you could do this week is do the halftime method with your healthy foods in particular. So that means that you're going to eat half the plate that you normally eat. I just go ahead and serve what you normally serve. Then you're going to take a break. I want you to sit for you. I want you to sit, like, some people just sit like a minute. For you, I actually want you to sit for like 3 to 5 minutes. I want you to push your plate away. And I want you to really examine, where am I at on the enough scale? And then if your brain starts going to, this won't be enough, this is so unfair, it's so little, but it's healthy, if it's doing all that, you have to set all that aside and be like, I get it. You're freaking out. You think something bad's happening. All we're trying to do is make sure we're not over-serving and eating, actually overeating, but overeating in a way that we don't think is emotional. Because if your brain is doing all of that and it thinks it deserves this food because it's healthy, that's called entitlement, and entitlement is an emotion. That is a form of emotional eating. So try it. And if you eat half and you're like, no, I actually am physically hungry, like, this is the symptoms that I'm experiencing, like, I have not had enough yet, then you eat half again and you do the same exercise. Now, a lot of you be like, oh my God, this sounds so long and so tedious. Well, it's going to be long. It could feel tedious if you're thinking about it as it sucks. But if you're thinking about it as, I fucking want to solve my weight loss stuff, I want to know what the hell's going on, I want to make sure that I turn over every stone to make this work, it won't feel tedious. It'll feel worth it. Okay. All right, y'all. That's it. Y'all have an amazing, amazing day. If you have any other questions that you submitted, if I couldn't, I think one person had a question I did not get to. I have to go because MJ needs this room for another call. Just pop it into Facebook or put it into Ask Coaches and we can talk about it there. But next month, we're going to start diving into leveling up your thinking. We talked about our actions this month. Next month, it's all about this bullshit thinking that we got going on. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.